Ron from the Chilliwack Nooners.
Right on. Thanks, Saeed. Hi, everybody. Ron Alcoholic. So I got two phones here, and I can tell you the reason why, and I'm not going to need this, is if my phone rings, I actually got to get it. So I'm just letting you know, because I got this new job, and I'm in charge of like 10,000 longshoremen, and I didn't realize I was working tonight. So when I got asked to do this, so if the phone does ring, I will get it, and I'll get Bobby to take over a sponsee of mine. So with that being said, hi everybody, I'm Ron and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to welcome anybody new, anybody coming back, welcome to AA. My sobriety date is November the 3rd, 1988. So I have 30 years and I'm coming up to 31. But you know, I'm no different than anybody sitting in this room. And I'm not, the only difference is I have a lot of damn sobriety, you know, a lot of days back to back. That's probably it. That's the only thing different. You know, I came in here the same way as everybody sitting here, and I'm nobody special. Just because I'm the speaker tonight, I'm nobody special. I'm truly not. I'm just an alcoholic. And you know, before I got here, I didn't even know what an alcoholic was. I thought an alcoholic was somebody who just ended up in Maine and Hastings. You know, I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I didn't know what a drunk was. I didn't know what AA was. I didn't know, you know, I knew how to puke. I knew how to drink. I knew how to lie. But I didn't know what an alcoholic was. And I was dying from something I didn't even know I was dying from. I didn't know it was a disease. I didn't know about this, you know, mental obsession. What the heck is that? You know, and what's the allergy and, you know, like, what is all that stuff? I hear it in AA. And anybody who shares that in the rooms of AA, I hope they'll explain to you what it actually means. Because I sat in those seats and I was wondering, and I just prayed day after day coming to AA meetings, is that somebody would explain something to me. And, you know, they didn't. I heard people talk about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was mentioned at every meeting, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that was exciting. That's what I caught on to, is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to read that. And I read it, and I studied it. And I didn't know, like, it's a twofold disease, like an alcoholic has a twofold disease. But really, it actually has three. They talk about this mental obsession of the mind, and they talk about this allergy. And this mental obsession of the mind is anything overseas, anything, I'm going to drink. That's all I see is a drink. And I'm going to go for a drink and nothing's going to stop me. I don't care about a sponsor. I don't care about AA. I don't care about anything. If I got the obsession of the mind happening, I'm going. I've seen people leave the meetings. I've seen people drink in the meetings. But they leave the meetings and you know what they do? I'm going drinking because that obsession is so powerful. Nothing else matters other than that. So that's the obsession of the mind. And what happens is I'm in my head. And I'm going to explain it to you a lot different than you probably ever heard it before. So once I'm in my head and this obsession of the mind happens, then I'm thinking about it so badly, I'm going to actually pick up a drink. And my mind tells me that it's going to be okay. Or it's not going to be okay. How about I don't care? How about I just don't care? I'm drinking. I don't care any longer. I don't care. I don't care about, my nickname's Right On Ron. I don't care about Right On Ron. I don't care about Will. I don't care about Bobby. I don't care about anybody. I'm going out. Or how about that mental blank spot the Big Book talks about? But it still comes from your head, and it comes from your thinking. And let me tell you, there's a warning we get before this obsession of the mind and this allergy. And I said it was a threefold disease. It's the mind and the body, but it's the spirit too, spiritual sickness. And that's the spiritual malady. That's the very first thing that happens to anybody before I'm not even thinking about drinking. If you're not thinking about drinking, that's fantastic. But what happens is something happens before you even think about it. And it's that irritable, restless discontent. And I'm uneasy, and I don't know what to do. Or maybe I'm super excited, or I'm not excited at all. I don't know, but I'm irritable, restless, discontent. And that sets me off. It's like a warning. It's like going up to a yellow light, but it's going to turn red. You know it's going to turn red, but your spiritual malady is that yellow light, and it's turning red. I need to get spiritual help at that point. I need spiritual help at that point. If I don't get the spiritual help, bam, I'm in the mental obsession of the mind. So, I didn't understand what all this meant. And me even explaining it to you, if you're kind of new, you probably still don't understand what the heck is he talking about. So I'm going to break it down so it's very, very simple. Because I've been doing this for a long time. Is the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body? Let me say that again. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. The main problem is my thinking. My thinking, that mental spot, my thinking will get me to that drink. And it has every single time. That's a mental obsession of the mind. Dr. Silkworth said that we can't differentiate from the truth from the false. What the heck is he talking about? What is he talking about? And he was explaining it to Bill in the doctor's opinion. We can't tell the difference between the truth and the false. What is he talking about? He's talking about the truth has always been within us. God has always been within us. I didn't know that. I've searched everywhere for God. Couldn't find God. But I found him. And that's important. Right? You know, so the main problem is my thinking. So that's the problem. I always thought the alcohol was the problem. I always thought, you know, hey, you got a problem? Yeah, I got a problem. Man, do I drink? Oh, do I drink? Oh, let me tell you, do I drink? I'm a longshoreman. They hated me down there. I've been there for 40 years. They hated me. I don't know if you guys ever been hated. I was hated by everybody down there. Like, it's the truth. Even Will smiling. Will knows. And, oh, no. Like, really hated. Like, I would have big sheds 40 feet tall with my name on it. And it wasn't right on Ron. It was like asshole or some really bad things. Like Ronnie Morris, that's my name. Ronnie Morris, but that was right on Ron. When I came to AA, everything was right on. So, you know, the main problem is my thinking. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that my mind told me it was good or it's bad. It doesn't matter. And that spirituality comes before my thinking. The main problem of the alcoholic centers is the mind. So I needed to get to some sort of solution. And like I said, I searched for this solution. And man, did I read this big book. And man, did I go to Buddhist temples. I went to Hawaii, sober, looking for God. And I went to Buddhist temples. I went to churches. I went to Mexico. I went to pyramids. I'm looking everywhere for God. And you know, I only had to look in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous told me exactly where God is, not who God is. So if you believe in God, hey, that's fantastic. I believe in God too. But what's really important is where God is. And it talks about our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. It talks about our members, talk about us, have tapped an unexpected inner resource which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. Like, oh my God, deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. Oh my goodness. This means I don't have to rely on my sponsor anymore for the answers. I don't have to phone my sponsor every single day. No, you don't. You need to tap that unexpected inner resource which they presently use as a power greater than yourself. We need to live in the solution. And the solution was within me the whole time. It's in my heart. And it's in prayer. It's in goodness. It's in love. It's within us. I didn't even know that. So I kind of followed that. Wow. having God in my life. Oh my goodness. You know, like, oh my God, God. Step two, step three. It talks about everybody say, I hear all kinds of stuff from the fellowship. And I hear all kinds of stuff. Oh, you can like even just fake it in step three. And you'll come to realize like where God is if you do the rest of the work. No. I don't know where they get that from, because it tells us specifically we are reborn. How are you reborn after steps two and three? How are you reborn? If you're like still seeking, by the time we get to step three, we know where God is. We know who God is. And who God is totally up to you. I just know where God is from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh my God. So now I know what the problem is with my thinking. I know about the spiritual malady. Like, I know where God is within me. I don't have to rely on my sponsor anymore. I love my sponsor and had three sponsors in all the years. And I love my sponsor, but I don't rely on him. My reliance comes from power greater than myself. So here's the good news and here's the bad news. The good news is that's pretty much all you need is to get sober. But it's not going to keep you sober. So just because I know what the problem is my thinking, and just because I know where the solution is, and the solution's God. They wrote the Big Book for two reasons: to enable you to find a power greater than yourself. And the other one is, they wrote this book precisely to show you exactly how we have recovered from this hopelessly state of mind and body, right? They wrote the book to show you where God is, but it's not enough. And let me guarantee it's not enough. And if it was enough, like if God was it, that's it. And God is it, don't get me wrong. They even say he is or he isn't. But if that was it, we wouldn't be here. Right? I got God. Hey, I'm going to the movies tonight. I'm going to the Canucks game, right? I'm going out with my girlfriend tonight. That's it. I got God. But that's only half of it. I know you guys, hopefully, have read the book. And it's the first 103 pages, because that step 12 actually ends at at page 103. So, you know, you're not going to stay sober. Just because I have God, you're not going to stay sober. I need to do the rest of this work. And from what I have found is why we need to do the rest of the work is because I got blocks that are blocking me from God. So I got God. I got God. But what happens is you might cut me off, or you might push me after the meeting and say, you know what, I hate you or something. Whatever. Do you get me? I'm still going to be with God. But you might push me the wrong way one day at the wrong time, and I'm going to react. And you know how I'm going to react? I'm not going to be reacting godly. I'm not. I'm human. Right? I'm not. You come up to me and you hit me in the face or something, punch me out, I'm going to phone the police. I might hit you back. Just letting you know. But I'm probably going to go straight to the solution. But what happens is what I'm getting at is I react, and I've been reacting my whole entire life from what I think or from what I know. And from what I think and from what I know hasn't really helped me. So how I've reacted wasn't godly. You know how I'm going to react? Mean. You know how I'm going to react? Angry. You know how I'm going to react? Self-centered. You know how I'm going to react? Living in self-pity. You know how I'm going to react? Living with depression. But now there's a mental illness as long with an addiction, which I'm going to even talk about a little bit later. But how I've reacted my whole entire life needs to change. And where I'm going to get that is by doing step four. I'm going to do step four, and I'm going to learn about all about resentments. And oh, I'm telling you, the resentments were through the roof. I had like 600 of them. What a waste of time. If you got more than 25 resentments, you're just wasting your time. Let me just guarantee on that. I didn't understand why I was doing all these resentments, but today I do. So now I have a limit of 25. And I'm going to tell you exactly why I have a limit of 25 when I help people through the steps. And I help people all around the world with the steps. And I'm going to tell you why. is because a resentment has nothing to do with you. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It'd be like that parking meter is right here, and I'm mad at that parking meter, and I'm going to beat it up. It's not really going to do anything. A resentment has nothing to do with you. It has to do with how I react to you. Remember that guy who's going to punch me out? It's how I react to that. I said I probably hit him. Maybe I might hit him. I'm probably going to phone 911 first, try going right to the solution, but I'm not, I'm human. Thank God for the 12 steps. So I have to deal with the resentments. I have to deal with the fears. I have to deal with the sex. I have to deal with the harms. I have to deal with this stuff. I need to fix this stuff. I need to make things right. How do you make amends? You know, oh, but we're getting a little ahead of things, but you know, I need to see and I need to remove the blocks that are blocking me from God. And they continue to get me blocked until I do my step four. Then I go to step five and then I tell somebody, like, look, you know, look, I'm resentful at whoever, parking meter. I'm resentful at that parking meter. You wouldn't believe what that parking meter does. Gets my car towed every single time. It gets my car towed. And I'm just using the parking meter as an example. Little did I know, has nothing to do with the parking meter and has nothing to do with you. It's how I react. And I need to learn to put 25 cents in the parking meter every time I don't get tickets. Oh my God. But this is where we go when we do the steps. We go to the solution. Oh my God. Really? Really? Am I that much of a... Oh, that I would be beating the heck out of a parking meter, not knowing and not even thinking and knowing that I should have just threw a quarter in and lived in the solution. And what kind of horrible person, not horrible, but mixed up person, how I used to think. So then I would do five, and then I'd go to six and seven. And six and seven I love because by the time you get to step six, it says we're entirely ready to have these defects of characters. I know exactly what my defects are at this point because I do the work. And I say, hey, just write down your top 10 defects. They're right there. What are they? You know, I'm mean. I'm inconsiderate. You know, it's like, oh, my God. And so that step six is knowing your defects. See, God doesn't want you there. Step seven is humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. See, God doesn't want you there. God wants you on the other side of that. God doesn't want you to be mean. God wants you to forget about basically your defects of character. You pray about them and you ask God to help remove them, but you live the opposite way. So I live in love instead of hate. I live in kindness instead of being mean. Right? That's where God wants me. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. What would you want me to do, God? How about be a nice person? Shay, are you listening? Shay, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Good. You have to be a nice person. We need to live in our hearts. Faith without works is dead. They mentioned it three times. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Right? So how about having faith and loving actions works? How about having God and faith and loving actions really work? Right? That's step six and seven. Step seven is beautiful because now I'm living in God's will and like, what am I supposed to do? God, oh, okay. God wants me to be happy and loving and kind. Oh, okay. What actions am I going to do? Oh, this is the action I'm going to do. I'm going to actually even write down the action I'm going to do. I'm going to treat people with love and respect. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to try. I'm human. Then I get to step eight. My list is already done. I go to step nine. I make amends. So we get to step nine, and we got to make amends. And the most important person I need to make amends to is me. And when people go back out drinking and they've done the work, well, they've missed something along the way. Well, what they've missed is really their step nine towards them about how they can love themselves. That's the most important thing. So what are you going to do in your step nine? Whenever I need a new start or amends, I start with me. I make amends to me. I need to love me. Forgiveness. Anybody know how to forgive? Anybody? It all starts with you. I've done this a long, long time. And I've always wanted to be forgiven. I've always wanted to be forgiven. But you have to forgive yourself. And the only way you can forgive yourself is to love yourself. So what does your step 9 look like? Whatever it looked like, if you decided to go back out drinking, you need a new step 9. And you need to start with you. And you need to do this work up to that point. And you need to write out more of your step 9 and do more work. I need to love me. I need to go to meetings. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? Well, just do this work. And it's going to tell you exactly what we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to love me. I'm supposed to love me first, and then I can make amends to anybody in this world. Wow, why couldn't I? So anyways, I do 9. Step 10 is done all through the day. And at night, step 10. Step 11 is on the awakening and when I retire at night. Then step 12, right? And how do I help others in step 12? Like, how? And it talks about being a maximum helpfulness to others. You know, this is what it talks about. And how can I be a maximum helpfulness to others? You know, it says a kind act once in a while isn't enough. I know how I can help you today. And I know how I can help you today. Is I can love me first. And then I can go and I can love you. Right? I can help you through the 12 steps. If you kind of just don't understand, I'll help you. Zaid will help you. Will, Bobby, Ian, Shay, there's so many people here who understand this and who can live this from their hearts today. And who are the people who are living in their hearts? Believe me, you'll know them. So I got this job. I'm a longshoreman and I started 40 years ago and I was 14 years old. And I just got a couple more minutes, so I'm really cutting it. That's why I wanted to kind of rush through the steps. So nobody liked me, right? Nobody. Every day I was going to work and nobody liked me. And that's the truth. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So it took me 10 years to make the union. I made the union. And that's the time when I hit bottom. And I was killing myself and I was going to die. I knew I was going to die and I knew I needed help. So I phoned up the Employees Assistance Program. It's called the EAP, the Employees Assistance Program for the Longshoremen. And my first sponsor helped me. And this is the words he said that day. He says, can you stay sober just for today? And I said, yeah, but where is it going to get me? I said, like, really, where is it going to get me? I can stay sober just one day. Yeah, I can. I can. I can do this. Just today, I can. I can't tomorrow. He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Just today. And I did. And I got help. And I worked as a longshoreman for all these years. And I've been pretty much helping people or trying to help people for the last 30 years. And just before I close, okay, just one more minute. Give me one more minute, you guys. The president came up to me of our union, came up to me, I don't know, about 6 months ago. And he says, we're creating a job, an EAP, an Employees Assistance Program guy, to help like 10,000 longshoremen. And he says, we want you in this job. I'm like, oh my God, what? I get to actually help people? I get to actually help people, get them into treatment? I get to talk to them daily? You know, I get to help with trauma. I get to help with alcoholism. I get to help with the mental health. I get to help with the drug, drinking addictions. And believe me, I'm only a grade 9 educated person, right? And they says you have to take this drug and alcohol course. And I got honors. I got like 97%, I got honors. And I'm not the smartest guy, you know, believe me. I might be the loudest, but I'm not the smartest. But I got like 97% with honors. And I got the job today. You know, so, thanks. You know. So today, I work. Today, I absolutely love my job. You know, and it's only a gift because of sobriety. You know, and do I love helping people? I love helping people today. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I was out in Skid Row East Side today, helping a foreman look for his kid today, and we couldn't find him. There was trauma yesterday on the job. A really horrible thing happened on the job, and I got called, and I had to talk to like over 100 members about a horrible situation dealing with trauma. And that was just yesterday. And you know, I had management there, I have my members there, and it went perfectly fine. And it was perfectly okay. It's all because of the 12 steps and Alcoholics Anonymous. So you know what? Education, no education. Light, not light. Loved, not loved. Believe me, if I can do it, so can you. Thanks for my sobriety.
thank you, Ron.